So what we're going to do today is discuss faith. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he left behind him only 8 verses. So many books, his Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they wrote so many books. But Lord Chaitanya himself only left 8 verses, and they are called Shikshastakam. So how many of you are familiar with these verses? 1, 2, you're familiar. Okay, good. So this Shikshastaka is actually the science of chanting the holy name. It's a science, and we're going to study each of these verses very scrutinizingly every day, and we'll find out how they can help us to perfect our chanting. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is the incarnation to distribute the chanting of the holy name. And he has left us these verses just to increase our faith. And especially the first one is all about faith, the Chaita Darpana Marjanam. So we'll get into that a little bit later. And this class is going to be in 2 parts. Part 1 is why we should have faith in the chanting, and that will be a discussion on this first verse of Shikshastaka. Why? Why have faith? Why we should chant Hare Krishna? Why should we chant in the first place? So this verse has 7 treasures, which anyone who chants the holy name, he will get these 7 treasures. And if you hear about these 7 treasures, your faith will increase. The second part of the class, we're all going to discuss how to get faith, and we're going to go shopping. Everybody likes to go shopping, at least the ladies, they like to go shopping. And everyone who comes to Vrindavan, they like to go shopping, especially in Loi Bazaar. But we're going to go shopping in a very special place, and that's the marketplace of the holy names. And to get us in the right mood for shopping, we'll watch a video on Lord Nityananda Prabhu. He sang one song, Nadia Gojume. This is from Gitavali. And we'll also see with our eyes how Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda, Advaita Gadadhar, and Shivas arrived 2 years ago in Mayapur. And along with this arrival, watching this arrival of Panchatattva, we will also hear this song, Nadia Gojume. And this song is just to awaken our faith in the chanting. You can have some copies. So we're studying the science of Harinam, and that is Shikshastakam. Now, this Shikshastakam is discussed in Bhajan Rahasya by Bhaktivinod Thakur. Bhaktivinod Thakur is the guru and the father of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So he wrote 2 books, Harinam Chintamani and Bhajan Rahasya. And in these books, he goes into detail how we can get faith in the chanting, what are the offenses to avoid, what are the levels of chanting. And he showed how this Shikshastaka, these 8 verses, are related to the levels of devotional service, beginning from Shraddha to Prema. Now, does everybody know these levels of devotional service? You might have some new people in this class. So Shraddha, what is Shraddha? This is the first level that we're discussing today. What is Shraddha? Faith. Okay, the next level is, after you get some faith, then you associate with devotees, sadhu sangha. And then by this association, you start to practice bhajana kriya, that is devotional service, rules and regulations. And after a little bhajana kriya, all the dirty things in your heart start coming out and get cleaned and thrown away. This is called anartha nivritti. And after this level, we come to nishtha, a very strong faith. Nothing can stop you. Nishtha. And after nishtha comes ruchi. You get a taste for the chanting. And after ruchi comes asakti, or attachment. And after asakti comes bhava, or you feel great ecstasy when you chant and when you serve Krishna. And the last is prema. Prema, great love, pure love of Godhead. So these 8 verses go along with these different levels of Shraddha to Prema. And today we are going to discuss just the first one, Shraddha, faith. So that's easy. But tomorrow is going to be a very difficult day, we're going to go from Sadhu Sangha Bhajana Kriya Anartha Nivritti, and especially Anartha Nivritti. We're going to get rid of all the offenses in our heart tomorrow. So then the next day, the third day, we will be ready for Nishta. Nishta. And how to get Nishta is by developing humility. Chanarapi sunichena torariva sahishma. And after you develop the humility, you can make very rapid advancement. After Nishta comes Ruchi, taste for chanting. That's the fourth verse. Nadanam nachanam nisandirim. And then after taste Ruchi comes Asakti, great attachment, Bhava and Prema. So Lord Chaitanya, he said to Sanatana Goswami that there are 9 processes of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam. So he said, Taramadye sarishreshta nama sankirtan nirapat arakte nama laila paya premakan. Of the 9 processes of devotional service, the most important is to always chant the holy name of the Lord. If one does so, avoiding 10 kinds of offenses, one very easily obtains most valuable love of Godhead. So today, we're going to go deep into our heart, and we're going to analyze what is in there. Just the dirty things, actually. We know there's good things in there, too, but that's very nice. We want to get out the dirty things today. Today and tomorrow, we're going to do some digging. We're going to find out what is in our heart. 2 dirty things, 2 categories, ignorance and anarthas. Ignorance and anarthas. So how can we get rid of this ignorance and anarthas? We have to understand that there's transcendental knowledge in 3 divisions, sambandha, abhideya, and prayojan. Does everybody know? Sambandha means knowledge of our relationship with Krishna. Abhideya means the process of devotional service to reach Krishna. And prayojan means the goal or love of Godhead. So when we understand our relationship with Krishna and we chant with knowledge of that relationship and we perform devotional service, if we have a strong foundation of knowledge and practice, then we can achieve the goal. So when we chant Hare Krishna also, what happens is Krishna in our heart, he's so grateful. He's so grateful to us when we chant. He says, this Rupa Goswami says in Nectar Devotion, if we just chant Krishna's name, it is impossible for him to ever forget us. And in Adi Purana, there's a wonderful verse, which I'll sing. Shraddhaya hirna nam aratanti mamajan tvarte shanam sada parta vartate viraye nama. O Arjuna, listen attentively. When the living entity chants my name, whether out of devotion or indifference, his name will remain forever in my heart. I'll never forget such a soul. So if we chant Krishna's name even indifferently, then our name will be scratched in Krishna's heart, will be etched in his heart. So now we'll go to the first verse. You can follow on you have a small piece of paper called Seminar Outline. And on this outline, we have the Shikshastika. So the first page. Or you can follow up there. We'll sing the first verse. Chetadagnamarjanam Bhavamaharavagnirvapanam Shayakarachan kavitaminam Vidyamatirjivanam Anandam Bhutivadanam Pratipadam Bhunamitasvadanam Sarvatmasnapanam Padam Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. Glory to the Shri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life, of repeated birth and death. The Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large, because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss. It enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. So the mirror of our heart is covered by the dust of sangskaras and anarthas, which can only be cleansed by chanting. So the first installment, the first treasure of chanting is Cheta Darpana Marjanam. Cheta means heart, And darpana means mirror, and marjana means to clean. So the heart is like a mirror. Prabhupada said it's like a camera. Our heart is like a camera. When we go out in the morning, we're taking pictures the whole day. Our whole life, we're taking pictures and we're storing them in our subconscious. So psychologists, Prabhupada says, psychologists know this, that the heart is taking pictures. And this is covering our heart. It's covering the reality of who we really are. All these pictures that we've been taking since time immemorial. Not only in this birth, for many, many births, we're taking pictures. And we're storing them in our heart. What are some examples of some of the pictures we have in our heart? Does anybody know any picture you have in your heart? I hope it's a nice one. Radhisham Sundar? Your father and mother when you were a child? Your school? The school you went to? Some movie you watched once? Srila Prabhupada, he used to ride and actually, one time somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, where do you live? Srila Prabhupada says, I live in a 747 jet airplane. That's my home. Because he traveled the world 14 times in less than 10 years. So he said, sometimes I see the movies in the plane and I close my eyes. I don't like to see it because the impression stays in the heart. So we have to be very careful what we take pictures of during the day, because we have to clean it out later by our chanting. So basically, two categories, rajas and tamas, passion and ignorance. These are the coverings in our heart. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in Jagannath Puri, he had one pastime of cleaning the Gundicha temple. When Lord Jagannath comes out on Rath Yatra Day, he goes to Gundicha temple. But the day before, everyone goes and cleans the temple for the Lord's arrival. So Lord Chaitanya, when he was here, he went and he cleaned with all his devotees and he was taking off his chadar and he was cleaning the deity's altar. Now, this is also symbolic that when we chant, we're also doing the same thing. We're cleaning our heart, just like Lord Chaitanya cleaned the Gundicha temple. So Lord Chaitanya, after everyone cleaned the temple, Lord Chaitanya sat down in the middle and he had all the devotees sit on two lines next to him. And he said, okay, now we'll clean again and we'll take up the small pieces of dust, the straw, and the very small pieces of the dirty things. And I will gather everyone's collection and whoever did the least, he'll have to pay a fine of sweets. So when they put all the collections together of all the devotees, and then they took Lord Chaitanya's, his was the biggest collection of dirt. He got the most dirt. So when we chant, then we're cleaning the heart. So I hope you all brought your malas, your japa malas today, because we're going to do some exercises. But not right now, a little bit later. Your mala, this one. Exercises. You're prepared. Okay. Sometimes they come the first day, they didn't bring their mala, you know. Sorry. Your japa mala. I'll try and speak slowly. So, when you're chanting Hare Krishna in your mala, imagine if you have a video camera inside your heart taking pictures while you're chanting. What will you see? What will you see happening when you're chanting and the video camera is going in your heart? What are you going to see? Yes?
May I ask questions as we go along?
What? Yes. Yes. Well, I just asked you one first, so you can answer me first and you can ask one.
Now, I mean, is it the heart or is it the mind?
They're in the same place. The Prabhupada mostly, he uses them synonymously. But the heart, the mind is in the heart, and the soul is in the heart, and the intelligence is in the heart, and the heart is in the heart. So when we say heart, it means mind, actually. Yes. What is going on there? But here it says Chaita Darpana Marjanam. Chaita actually means consciousness. Consciousness, if you want to be very technical about it. But according to Prabhupada's translation, he says heart. Yeah, okay, so now you've got a video. Your mind is there, your intelligence is there, the Hare Krishna mantra is there. And what's going on? What is going on there in your heart every day when you chant, when you sit down to chant japa? A scene is going on there, actually. Sometimes you see it, and sometimes you don't. Does anybody have any idea? You haven't? Yeah? Yes.
Lots of distractions.
Lots of distractions, uh-huh. Internally, externally. Yeah, what else?
Things that you need to do that day.
Okay, you got a list, your shopping list?
Yeah.
Right. What else is going on there? Suppose there's no distraction. Now we want to see the perfect picture of what's going on. Now that's what's usually going on. But there is something else going on when we chant. Who knows? Yeah, Krishna. Krishna is on our tongue, right. But in the heart, actually, Krishna is there and he's doing the cleaning. We're not doing it. He says in Bhagavatam, Shinbatam Sokatam Krishna Punyashavana Kirtana Virantasta Vachani Vitunati Siddhitsatam. That the super soul is in the heart. And if the sincere devotee, a truthful devotee, is chanting, he's hearing and chanting Krishna's glories, then the Lord cleans the heart of all inauspicious desires. So that's actually what's happening when we chant Hare Krishna. Our mind may be somewhere else, but Krishna is doing his work. He is there, he's cleaning our heart. So Krishna, he wants to sit in our heart. He wants to be there with us. But the problem is, we are keeping so many other things there. So that's covering. Krishna's there, actually. He is in our heart, and our soul is in our heart. We are, our original spiritual form is there. We can't see it because it's covered with all this grass and straw and wood and pieces of dirt. So Lord Chaitanya, he was demonstrating how to clean our hearts. We have to pick up each little piece of dirt. And tomorrow we'll be doing this heart surgery. We'll be trying to get into there and really get to each little thing and take it out. A very painless way. So, before we go into our discussion on anartas, I would like to do a little exercise. First, I would like you to get your mala. And I need a couple of volunteers. Now, this is a really easy exercise. I want somebody to show me how not to chant Hare Krishna. First, before we do the proper way, we have to see what we should not do. So I think some of you have more experience than the others in improper chanting. Those who have been in here longer in the movement, more years, have more experience in improper chanting. And now in this technical age, we have many more ways how not to chant. So who would like to show me one way how not to chant? Okay, Gauranga. Okay. Right. So talk and chant. And in this age, we have the cell phone also.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna, oh yes, yeah, okay, yeah, Hare Krishna, yes, Prabhu. We have the cell phone chanting. We have talking while chanting. Do you have an example? Driving while chanting. I mean, it's good to chant while you drive, but it shouldn't be counted as your 16 rounds. You chant your 16 rounds early in the morning in a quiet place, and you concentrate. But during the day, you can also chant. It's very good to chant. But don't count it as your 16 rounds. It can be extra chanting. And it's hard to concentrate, too. I mean, of course, if you're in an accident, then it's good and it helps. Yeah, then you really concentrate nicely. Or if you have a driver that's not so good, like When I was in Nepal recently, our driver, as soon as I get into the car, all devotees start singing, Namaste, Narasinghai. So I thought, uh-oh, what kind of driver did they give me? And in Moscow, I had one driver. His name was Yamaraj. And he thought that the goal is to get there regardless of any traffic rules or anything, that he thought he was transcendental to all the rules of the road. So we were going on the sidewalks and everywhere, you know, just to get... I said, Prabhu, we can... I don't mind if I'm late. Anyway, so, yeah, when you chant like this, now we have any other examples of how not to chant. Yes.
There's newspaper
japa. Oh, yes. Or any other books.
Newspaper
japa,
any books.
Yeah, newspaper japa. But now we've graduated to computers. And what do you call it? Internet. You're waiting for it to download. I was in one internet cafe, and all it was here in Vrindavan, and everyone was chanting real loudly. But there was one lady who wasn't a devotee. She said, "Could you please stop this chanting? I can't concentrate." Anyway, so yeah, internet japa. But sometimes it's so long, takes so long to download. You don't want, you know. But the point is, it's not your 16 rounds. It's okay, but to chant. But it's not such a serious chanting. It's not such a serious... Unless you get bad news or something, then maybe. Any other examples of... Right. Right. Yeah. Today we'll try and rectify that one. Today we'll do an exercise at the end of class that will really help us to concentrate. Yeah. Oh, no. You see what he's doing? He's doing three beads in one mantra. Boy, you really get fast. Get your rounds done. It's good for finishing your rounds. Yeah, there was one devotee who did that. And the devotees were telling her, you know, you're missing beads. She said, no, it's not true. They said, okay, record yourself. So she recorded herself chanting one round. And then she went back with the recording. And she touched each bead, and she saw, yeah, there were beads missing. And she finished, and there were some beads left over, you know, after the recording was done. And so, yes, these are ways not to chant Hare Krishna. So that we have to keep in mind. Yes, we can chant Hare Krishna, but it's not going to be attentive chanting, and which is what this class we're going to aim to get on the level of Namabhas, which means there are two symptoms of Namabhas. Or the clearing stage, that is, attentively you're chanting and avoiding the 10 offenses. These are the two symptoms of the middle level of chanting Hare Krishna. And this level gives you liberation, it leads you to inoffensive chanting. So that's one of the purposes of this seminar, is to get you at least on that level of attentive chanting. Yes.
But then wouldn't that support quantity over quantity?
Quantity. Yes. Well, actually, we find that if you chant, what you'll find out today, I'll give you another exercise, that we'll try to chant one perfect mantra. And I found that simply by trying to chant one perfect mantra, all your mantras improve, all your 16 rounds. So if you concentrate just on one, it's not a huge thing. It's not like, oh my God, 16 rounds. I can't do it perfectly. 10 rounds, like even one, just one mantra every day. Just chant one mantra perfectly. You only need one Krishna perfectly and you go back to Godhead. One offenseless name and you're guaranteed. But we have to keep chanting so we can get that one. So, yes, two exercises today. For the first day, and we'll do it later at the end of the day. So now we'll discuss these. You have it on your sheet. It's the first page of your papers, which are very, very thick. Your thick, thick papers. Four clouds of anartas. The heart, prohibiting the heart from chanting Shudhanam. Shudhanam means pure holy name. So you can see we have. There are four categories: weakness of heart, offenses, illusion, and thirst for the impermanent. So we'll just read this quickly through. 4 weaknesses of heart, attachment to things not related to Krishna. 2, cheating propensity and finding fault. 3, envy. 4, desire for recognition. Even devotees have this. So these are things that are stopping us from chanting, stopping us from improving. Then we have offenses to the name, nam aparad, seva, Vaishnava aparad, and jiva aparad. Jiva means everyone, the trees, the birds, the cows, the animals. 4 kinds of illusion about our own identity, about the position of Krishna, about the process and goal of bhakti, about what opposes devotional service. And 4 material desires, thirst for impermanent, pleasures of this world, pleasures of heaven, mystic powers, and liberation. So that covers all of our anartas. Anartha means something we don't want, something which covers our heart. Anartha. Artha is something we want, something nice. Anartha means something we don't want. So this paper, it says these anarthas, if you have this, and most of us do, give birth to 6 enemies: lust, anger, greed, illusion, pride, and envy. And these anarthas give birth to 6 waves: distress, illusion, hunger, thirst, old age, and death. So this is the source of our entanglement and the source of our miseries, and our creeper of devotion cannot grow as long as these anarthas dominate the heart. But all anarthas go far away by performance of Nam Sankirtan, chanting the holy name. So now we know what the problems are. Tomorrow we'll focus our discussion especially on the offenses to the holy name. So the first result of chanting, Chaita Darpana Marta. The heart becomes clean. We come to the mode of goodness. So after that, the second result, Bhava Maha Devagni Nir Vapanam. This means the blazing fire of material existence is extinguished. So many great sages in India especially, you see, they go to the Himalayas. They go to Haridwar, Rishikesh, Badrinath for meditation, just to find out, who am I? What am I? Just to meditate on Brahman, the absolute truth. But if we chant Hare Krishna, then this is the second result of the chanting. You'll find out who you are. You'll get free from all this misery. They go up there just to get away from the miseries of this material world. This is the second result of chanting, that your miseries are finished. So these yogis said in Brahma Samhita, the Brahma says, Pandast koti shatavat sarasam pragam yavayor tapi manaso manipungavanam so pyasti yakavarasim savichintiratri govindamari purusham namaham vajami. That these yogis, they meditate for millions of years and they travel at the speed of the mind. Still, they can't reach the tip of the toe of the lotus feet of Krishna. But by chanting Hare Krishna, we very easily achieve Krishna's lotus feet. So what is the blazing fire? Anybody have an example of a blazing fire? Have we all experienced the misery of this material world? Or some of you are too young? Of course, you may not remember, but birth is a misery. Growing up is a misery. School, we experience school. Army, oh, that's a misery. You were in the army. Okay, any other disease? Yeah. Hard work, yes. Hard work. So hard work that foam comes from the mouth, they say. Papa, baba, ma.
Paying taxes.
Oh, you're a hard worker, huh? Most devotees avoid that. They do say something, some way, anyway. But yes, and he's also a hard worker. We have 3 hard workers in this class. He works hard for the airlines. And you also work hard. And I also worked hard, but it was for Krishna. So I don't know. I won't get any social security. I won't get any pension. Of course, I guess I'll get all the pension because it's Krishna. I'll get my old age security from Krishna, because nobody else will give it to me. Okay, yeah, so, yes, hard work.
Accidents,
yes. Disease, accidents. We all experience this. I had operations, that's a misery. One, and I went in for just a simple test and I almost died because they gave me overdose of anesthetic. So I wasn't expecting to die, you know, by having a very simple test, but you never know. So you don't know what one day to the next what's going to happen. So we know this is the blazing fire. And if it's not happening to us physically, it's happening to us mentally. We imagine so many things that may happen or are happening. And this is the blazing fire. So by chanting, we can extinguish this blazing fire. This is the second result. Third result is Shreya Kayava Chantika Vitaranam. This means there are two analogies to explain this thing. This is the expansion of the benediction moon. So one analogy is of a lotus flower, that your heart is like a lotus. When you chant, now new devotees, it's just like a bud like this. But when we chant, the more we chant, it opens up and it unfolds. And this is when we realize the form of Krishna, and we realize the pastimes of Krishna, and what is our relationship with Krishna. And this all can be gained by chanting. In fact, it's the only way in this age of Kali that we can understand what is our relationship with Krishna. So the white lotus of good fortune, that is one analogy. The second analogy is the moon. Here we see a moon. Now, when we begin chanting, it's just like a very small sliver. We have a glimpse. We have an idea. Okay, I'm servant of Krishna. That's the beginning of our idea of our relationship with Krishna. As we chant, as we go through the levels of Shraddha to Prema, this moon is waxing, it's expanding and expanding. And finally, we understand, oh, I am a cowherd boy, or I am a cowherd girl, or I am a mother or father of Krishna. And that's what you can expect by chanting the holy name. So this is the third result, that the benediction moon is expanding. So Lord Srila Prabhupada named Mayapur temple Mayapur Chandodaya Mundir, because it's the expanding moon, the rising moon. And from Mayapur, it is expanding all over the world. And there's one more place where this moon is expanding, and that is in our heart. When we chant, the moon is expanding and the moon is rising. But there is a song we used to sing in 1970s, Lord Chaitanya's moon is rising. And it's not at all surprising. There'll be dancing in the streets, telling everyone you meet, we're going home. So this is a song we used to sing in the old days, hippie devotees. We had a hippie drama. But anyway, it's true. It's true that this moon, when you chant, this moon is rising in your heart. Very pleasant, soothing. Yes. So one day we'll see the beginning of our relationship with Krishna when we get to Nishta. Even now we know we're servant of Krishna, that much we know, so we have the beginning. But then as we chant, it gets bigger and bigger, and finally the full moon, and we experience the ecstasy of chanting. So this is the fourth result, Vidyavatu Jivanam, you get knowledge. Now especially for me, because I teach Srimad Bhagavatam, the way I understand the verses of Bhagavatam, because it's very difficult to understand Bhagavatam. You cannot do it simply by studying or simply by reading commentaries. You cannot understand Bhagavatam. You have to hear it from a pure devotee. And you have to, for myself, I found chanting Hare Krishna helps me to understand the verses of Bhagavatam. So sometimes the way I study is I read one verse of Bhagavatam that I have to speak on that day, and then I chant one round. And while I'm chanting that round, I get so many realizations of what this verse means. So this is very, like if you have to give a class or something, then, of course, chanting, anyway, we'll talk about this later, why this is so. But it's actually full of knowledge. You get knowledge by chanting the holy name. Here, another explanation is given by Sachinandan Swami. The Sanskrit word vadhu means bride. So vadhu, the bride of Krishna, appears in the heart of devotee who chants the holy name. Bhakti Devi appears with her two sons, Jnana and Vairagya. knowledge and enunciation. When you chant automatically, bhakti will appear in your heart. So, the holy name, not only is it knowledge, it is everything. And I have one beautiful prayer, which you can sing along with me. It's on your small seminar outline pages. It's on page 4. It's the bottom of the page, where it says prayers. This is from Adi Purana. And those of you who are familiar with Sanskrit will understand. I already sang the first two lines there about how Krishna, if you chant with faith or even with indifference, Krishna will never forget you and your name will forever remain in his heart. So I better put my glasses on for this one. Not English. That's better. Okay. So you got this. It's the bottom of page 4. Shadhaya helaya nama ratani mama jantava tisha nama sarapata vartati vidaye mama nanama sarisham jnana nanama sarisham vata nanama sarisham jnanam nanama sarisham salam nanama sarishas chago nanama sarishasama nanama sarisham punyam nanama sarishivati namaiva paramamukti namaiva paramagati namaiva paramashanti namaiva paramastiti namaiva paramabhakti namaiva paramanati namaiva paramapriti namaiva paramasmiti namaiva karanam janto namaiva pavarevacha namaiva paramarayam namaiva paramamukti. So we already said the translation for the first two lines, and then I'll just go through them. Gyanam, there is no knowledge equal to chanting. Nanama sarisham vratam, no vow equal to chanting. Nanama sarisham dhyanam, no meditation equal to chanting. Nanama sarisham phalam, no fruit equal to chanting. Tiago, no renunciation, nothing equal to chanting. Punya, there is no piety equal to chanting. Gati, no go equal to chanting. Mukti, no liberation like chanting. Shanti, no peace like chanting. Stiti, no situation. Bhakti is the highest bhakti. Mati, there is no intelligence. Smriti, there is no remembrance. Or Priti, there is no love equal to chanting. So anyway, this is the holy name. It's the highest. Everything is there. You don't have to go anywhere. Anywhere else. So these are verses you take home with you. You can chant before you can sing before you chant. So this is the fourth realization, is the fourth treasure is the knowledge. The fifth, anandam buddhi vartanam. Our blissful life begins. You will get an ocean of happiness, which is always increasing. So spiritual happiness. We've all experienced material happiness. What's the problem with material happiness?
It ends.
Yes. Why? What's the problem with that? Why aren't we satisfied with something that ends? Because we are eternal. We want eternal happiness. We don't want happiness. That's why we're unsatisfied in this material world, in this body. So another thing is the bliss will decrease. You eat, Prabhupada says, you eat one gulab jamun, you're happy. Two, you're happy. Three, you're happy. Five, ten, you start getting distressed. Your happiness decreases. And after about 30, you wish you wouldn't see another one again. And so this is material happiness. And the older you get, the more you realize this. That you keep trying and trying and trying and trying, but it doesn't get any better. It only gets worse. So material happiness, your bliss is decreased. Chewing the chewed. As spiritual happiness, the ocean of happiness is always increasing. So that's the difference. That is number 5. Number 6, pratipadam paramitas vadanam. The taste of nectar for which we are always hankering is increasing at every step. Sarvatmasnapanam, the final result. You're taking a shower in the ocean or in the Ganga or Jamuna. You feel refreshed. So when you take a shower in chanting, then not only is your tongue and your mind refreshed, but your soul is bathed in nectar. And this is, of course, the highest level of chanting. And we will get to this someday. So now we're going to prepare for... We finished our first part of the class. We've discussed the seven treasures of chanting. Now we're going to start. We're going to get in the right frame of mind for going shopping. In the marketplace. Huh? Yes, yes. Now we're talking. We're going to shop for different levels of chanting the holy name. And the money... Well, I won't tell you what the money is yet. First, we'll get in the right mood to shop. I have a projector, but I didn't know how many people were coming. I should have brought it, actually, because we have a lot of people. I'll bring it tomorrow, and then we can see this on a big screen. For today, I only have this small... I didn't know how many people were coming. Going to go shopping for the holy name. Different levels of chanting. First, before we go shopping, we have to decide what do we need. Okay. So, if you want to go shopping, what do you need to take with you if you're going to go shopping?
Money.
Money. Okay, money. You can write down. What else do we need when we're going to go shopping?
A bead bag.
Oh, big bag. Okay, a bag to carry things. Okay. Shopping bag. What else do we need?
Some list what to buy.
Shopping list. Very good.
No, then you miss all the fun shopping.
Oh, list is good. Anyway, some people need a list, so we'll put the list down.
You need a shop.
You need a shop. You need shops. So you need to know some contacts. Contacts. Shops. What else? Anything else if you're going
to go shopping?
Yeah, right, exactly. A friend to go shopping.
A car.
Yeah, okay. Conveyance. This is Kali Yuga. The shops are not close anymore. And we are lazy.
Bicycles.
Bicycles. Yeah, okay. Rickshaw, bicycle. Yeah, India's bicycle. I mean, we don't have cars here, too. Nobody here has cars. Yeah. Okay. So now we are ready to go. What?
Good mood.
Good mood. Yeah, well, I gave you the good mood now. That's why I showed the video, so you're in the mood for shopping. Oh, I should read you, actually, this translation. It's so beautiful. So you know what we were saying. Okay, let me just put my glasses on. We sang that. Okay, you can have a seat, and then I'll call you again. In the land of Nadia, on the island of Gojum, the magnanimous Lord Nityananda has opened up the marketplace of the holy name, meant for deliverance of all fallen souls. Sharavan Janahe, O people of faith, by the order of Lord Gauranga, O brothers, I beg these three requests of you. Chant Krishna, worship Krishna, and teach others about Krishna. Being careful to remain free of offenses, just take the holy name of Lord Krishna. Krishna is your mother. Krishna is your father, and Krishna is the treasure of your life. Giving up all sinful activities, carry on your worldly duties only in relation to Lord Krishna. The showing of compassion to other souls by loudly chanting the essence of all forms of religion. Okay, so we're going to go shopping. Now your price list is on your paper, page number 2 on that big sheets. You've got your price list. I will read the price list here. The first item is the holy name. And the cost, our currency, our money is going to be faith. So I'm giving you the shopping list here. So I'm going to have you, first we'll read it together, then I'll have you read it over and decide what you would like to buy and if you have enough money to buy it. So the first one is just the holy name. The cost is shraddha, faith. The second one item is holy name, which reveals Krishna's form. Means when you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna will come in front of your eyes. You will see him. So that's the second item. If you want to buy that, then you will have to pay with nishtha. That is a level of faith where you're completely fixed and you're freed from all your anartas. They don't disturb you anymore. and you're completely fixed. And the number three item, Naam, which reveals Krishna's form and qualities. So when you chant, you will see Krishna and you will appreciate his beautiful qualities, how merciful, how compassionate, how forgiving, how beautiful, all his qualities when you chant. For this, you have to pay with ruchi, faith on the level of taste. Number four, Naam, which reveals Krishna's form, qualities, and pastimes. When you chant, then you will see Krishna and his pastimes in the television of your heart. For this, you have to pay with asakti. This is firm attachment. Number five, Naam, which reveals Krishna's form, qualities, and pastimes, and awakens transcendental emotion. So when you chant, you'll see the pastimes, and you'll cry, and you'll feel shivering, and you'll feel all these things. So that's the number five item. For this, you have to pay with bhava, ecstasy. Number six, Naam, which reveals Krishna in full with all his transcendental potencies and gives unrestricted entrance into the ocean of devotion. So you have to pay for this one with prema. So I'll give you a few minutes. You can just look at the list, decide what you would like to buy, which item, and decide if you have the amount of money which you need. Okay, I'll just give you 1 or 2 minutes.
Like doing a vegetarian karmi restaurant. It's very easy to order because there's like one of
the It's like being a karmi in a vegetarian restaurant?
No, it's like being a vegetarian.
Vegetarian in a karmi restaurant.
It doesn't take you long to choose.
That's a good one. Just a few more seconds. You're a fast chooser.
Actually, none of the above.
Oh, that's difficult then. We'll have to do something about that. There was a book you read, or there was a video?
There's actually a small book that's the Tuatichai.
Right. Srila Prabhupada says you cannot see a sadhu by your eyes, but by your ears. That's how you will see a sadhu. Okay, everyone has decided?
Do we have to be able to afford it?
No, I mean, well, okay, which one did you decide what you want? You want prema, huh? That's your name, Gauranga Prema.
Yeah.
Do you have prema?
No.
Okay, that's a problem. Oh, so does everybody have the money to pay for what you want? You have the faith?
For what we want, we don't, but we have to follow what we can afford.
Yeah.
So do you have anything? So it's very difficult to find something you can afford. Okay, so now we're going to do something about that. You can come back up here. What do we do about lack of money? So suppose you want to buy something in the shop. You don't have enough money. What do you do?
Credit.
Go to the credit card.
Credit card, okay. Turn to the next paper. Okay, credit card. This is a Kali Yuga. Yeah, of course. It happens every class. Well, it's experience. It's my experience. Okay, what else can we...
Huh? On a tab with the shopkeeper.
Okay.
Put
it on the tab. Okay, pay later.
Yeah.
Buy now, pay. It's credit card. Kind of the same idea.
Okay.
What else can we do? Yeah.
Get a loan?
Okay. Get a loan? What else can we do? If, you know, we don't have enough money, but...
Steal.
Okay, write it down. Steal.
Borrow.
Yeah. Yes, okay.
Or beg from somebody who does have money.
What's that?
Beg.
Beg money from someone who has money. Yes, this is more like the devotee mood.
Yeah. Trade. You can barter trade.
Okay, trade. Good. Also, we've got buy now, pay later. What about buy later? Save money.
Save and
buy later. Because we always want it immediately. That's our problem. Kali Yuga. So credit cards. Anything else we can do? Look out for discounts.
Friends. Yeah, friends.
Sales, specials. Specials, discounts. Kartik is one. Kartik is a special, very special discount, even if you don't have the money. No, that's a good one. Buy second hand. In my last class, it was the first time, but this is the second time somebody said that. Second hand. And there's actually, I couldn't figure out, but then we figured out what it meant. Second hand. And... Yes, you're right. Actually, if you think about it, it is. Yes. There are a lot of secondhand people there. I mean, people getting it secondhand. We all get it secondhand, actually. Okay, I have another one here. Sell things you don't need anymore. Huh? Okay. And I've got two more here. One is you can go to a wholesaler. Yeah, discount. We have discounts there. Mm-hmm. Another one is something we don't do. Counterfeit notes. Print counterfeit notes. Won't help you, though.
Make it yourself.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Okay, any other ideas? What to do? For lack of...
Make the thing yourself.
Make the item.
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to make the item yourself.
You don't need to go to the store.
Okay. So, that's what we have, counterfeit notes. Print money. But it doesn't really get you what you want. Okay, you can have a seat.
Okay.
So let's just discuss each one of these things that we have here and see how this relates to the Holy Name. All these things. We've got a credit card now. So... buy now, pay later. So this is actually not a good idea. Because what it means is that we're trying to get something that's above our level. We don't have the money, we don't have the faith, but we want to jump. So credit card is not really a good idea. That we're trying to really buy above our level. So it's not a good thing to do. Credit card, pay later. Because we may be on a level, we may put ourselves on a higher level, but we can't stay there. We can't maintain it, and then the creditors come after you. Actually, that's my sister. She had a credit card, and three times she went bankrupt. Bankrupt means you buy so many things on your card, but you didn't have the money to pay later. So then they take everything, all the things that you have in your possession, and they sell it to pay your debts. The American government. Okay, loan. Okay, how can we understand loan? Borrow it from somebody. So that means you're chanting with somebody else's credits. Actually, devotees do that, especially mothers. They chant rounds and they give the rounds to their kids. So I guess your kids can take a loan, huh?
Do people
do that? Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you're a mother. That's the thing, mothers do all, and that's the way, that's how we increase our rounds a lot. Because our kids are always getting in trouble. I think, okay, today I'm going to give 10 rounds to him. More than, over your 16, you chant.
Sorry, why do they do that?
Why do who? The parents. Because it actually helps. It works.
I mean, it helps the parents.
No, it helps the kids too.
It's like praying for someone.
Yeah.
You're
just,
consciously,
yeah. Just like if, it's just like Brahmins. You go to a Brahmin, if you give charity to a Brahmin, then he's obliged to give you some of his pious credits. Or if he does a sacrifice for you, initiation, guru, he must give his disciple, he must take away their karma, he must suffer their karma and give them pious credits.
Would that be the same as when the guru chants on your
bead? Yeah, yeah.
Before initiation?
Yeah. Well, it's the fire sacrifice, basically, when you're accepted. Then all of your past karma is wiped away. But then still what you're doing in the present, you still have to suffer. But everything that's past is gone, and you get a token. So loan, you can take a loan from your guru, but eventually you also have to pay it. So the children, they have to pay their parents back also. They pay their parents back. Guru's mercy.
Like, if one's not following, whatever.
Yeah, if you don't follow.
Then there's a period, and then it's sort of just...
Yeah, eventually it dissipates, yeah. So there is a limit. Of course, Prabhupada, he said three times, if you break the rules, and he'll accept you back. He said after that, then... But of course, that was what he said, but in practice, he always accepted the devotees back. There was no limit, actually, for Prabhupada. I mean, devotees would do the craziest things. I have so many stories, but what devotees would do, and Prabhupada would still accept them. There was one devotee, he stole money from the temple, and then finally he was sitting out at the beach at Juhu, and he was sitting with a yogi, and Tamal told Srila Prabhupada, this is it, now you can't take him back. Look what he's doing. He's learning how to put a coin in one ear and go through the other ear. Now, we can't take him back now. That's it. That's the limit. And Prabhupada said, you do not know the Lord Nityananda's mercy. It is without limit. So Krishna, he's doing everything to get us back. Even Putana, she tried to kill him, and Krishna gave her the position of a mother. So Krishna, he only sees the good things we do. And Srila Prabhupada also. He sees the good. Otherwise, where would we be, you know? Because, I mean, if you put the good and the bad together... It's usually the bad. It's much huger. Okay, steal. Now, actually, stealing is good. Yes, stealing is for devotees. You go and you see who has the faith, and you get it by any means. So that is approved, but not credit cards. Stealing, it's funny. Mahaprasad, and stealing faith is allowed. If you can get somebody who has so much faith, any way you can get it, you should get it. Borrowing?
What's an example of stealing for a devotee?
For a devotee. Yeah. Well, you go on parikrama, and there's somebody who is very enthusiastic, and you go there, the leader of the parikrama, and he's chanting the holy name, and he's having a very ecstatic kirtan. And you go and join the kirtan. You go and join the kirtan, and you're stealing that enthusiasm and that faith. And you,
sort of association.
Yeah, association. You try and get association. That's under the category of stealing. Yeah, it's very strong. Yeah, also you may ask questions of the Maharaj or the Guru. You may be very enthusiastic to ask questions.
Well, I guess it's like intelligently placing oneself in a direct fire.
That's right, yes. Many devotees don't want to be in the direct fire. They hide themselves. But I know my one godbrother, he's here, Vishal. I can give you an example of stealing. Prabhupada was in his room, and one book just came from the West. We never had any books in India, Bhagavatam or any of these books. They never came to India. So I would beg and borrow. I didn't steal, but whenever I saw a devotee coming through Calcutta to Mayapur, I was the pujari in Calcutta, so I would beg a book. Oh, you have this one. We don't get books in India. Please give me this book, or sell it to me or something. Somehow I would just get the book. And I got a whole set of Bhagavatams, whole set of CCs that way.
Because, you hear about that.
Yes. Yeah.
Just in the off chance that they would see him, and they knew that Prabhupada didn't want to be disturbed, but at the same time they wanted to get the mercy, and by being there at the right time they got some instruction. And,
right.
You know.
Yeah, so they're stealing. Yeah, some they would steal into his room when they weren't supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, my godbrother Vishal, he was quite a character. He went into Prabhupada's room, and Prabhupada just got this book hot off the press. It was the only copy printed of, I can't remember, fourth canto or something. And Vishal came in and said, oh, Prabhupada, could I have that book? He took it from Prabhupada. I said, okay.
Yeah.
Stole it from, practically stealing from Prabhupada. But he was that kind of devotee, that he could do, you know, just outrageous things he would do with Prabhupada.
And when, Vishal was here.
Yeah, Vishal, yeah, same one. He used to sell, but he's still enthusiastically selling books. That's what he was doing here in 1974. He was selling books. And Whenever Prabhupada would go on his morning walk, he would stay at the front gate and he would say a prayer to Prabhupada. Oh, you are the greatest guru, or Gurvastakam. When he recited from Bhagavatam, we think we have met you by the will of providence. And Prabhupada stopped him and said, do something practical. Here, clean the floor.
Was it him?
It was him. It was Vishal. He would very loudly, he would just say these prayers, you know. And one time he just threw himself in the stool and offer obeisances. And just like, anyway, he would just do outrageous things. But he got the mercy. He really got the mercy of Prabhupada. That's one way, you know. He knew how to do it. And none of us would dare to do what he did, you know. But some devotees have that courage. Okay, so here we are. We're on this list here. Beg, borrow, and steal. Beg, trade. So what are you going to trade for faith?
Your time.
Time, okay.
Your commitment.
Commitment, service.
Youth.
Youth, yeah, we did that. We traded our youth for... Because you see so many Prabhupada disciples, like I had my child when I was 39, because my whole youth came to India in 72. There was no Grihastha ashram. So I was living, my husband and I, we were separate for 12 years before we could have Grihastha ashram. And then we had, yeah, anyway, so then I got my child when I was 39. So youth was just only for Krishna. We were pujaris in Calcutta when Prabhupada was here. So youth for, yeah. And then they all get married now, 40, 50 years old. What to do? You know, we didn't have a chance before that we gave our youth for Krishna. Well, I don't regret it. That was the best thing I did. Okay, trade your youth. And when Prabhupada was dying, leaving his body, then somebody, Miss Brahmananda said, I will trade my youth for your old age. And Prabhupada said, no, I will leave. You can stay and you preach. Trade, save. So save means chanting without offenses. You save those perfect mantras. Discounts, sales, specials, Kartik, Ekadashi. Chant more in Ekadashi, chant more in Janmashtami, chant more in Kartik, because it's 1,000 times more powerful. Especially Ekadashi.
At some point you're going to talk about Ekadashi, I'd be really grateful. I have a big question
mark. Ekadashi, yeah. Okay, well it's good to chant more in Ekadashi. Yeah, anyway, there's a spirit. Ekadashi means there's a certain mood and there's a certain spirit that you try to reduce so you can reduce your material enjoyment so you can increase your chanting, but not extremely. When Prabhupada was here, we didn't stay up all night and we didn't fast. We didn't eat grains, and that was the extent of it. But we didn't stay up all night fasting and chanting and like that. We never did it. So I tried it later, after Prabhupada left, and I only did it twice But I'm sure it's very good. It's nice.
My
but
point is, when you're working...
No, you can't do it.
You only do it on, like, let's say, every second Sunday. You don't want to do it on a Wednesday. Tuesday.
Yeah, it's hard. Yes, if you're outside, in the outside world, it's a great austerity. It's a great austerity. And if you cannot increase your chanting, at least try to not eat grains. It's very difficult. But Prabhupada, he allowed the devotees, if they were out on Sankirtan, that he allowed them, even they could eat grains if they had to.
Did he?
Yeah, at one particular party. He said, if you have, but they didn't do it. They didn't do it, but he said they could if they wanted to, but they didn't.
I never heard that.
Yeah, okay, I have to look it up. It's probably one of these memories of Prabhupada. One of these Sankirtan parties. Okay, so we're on this list here. Discounts, second hand. These people, if you go on Harinam and somebody hears the chanting, it's like second hand. It's not like they're chanting. It's kind of second hand.
I was thinking more like, I think it's Rupa Goswami said that when you associate with an advanced devotee, you get a reflection of their quality.
Yes, that also. That's secondhand bhava.
Yeah.
So you may cry, you may shiver, so secondhand bhava. So, but even secondhand holy name, just the name itself, that can be gotten by anybody, even the trees and the animals and everybody. Cockroaches, Prabhupada said, the dogs. Sell things you don't need. So ridiculous ideas, ridiculous conceptions, and critical conceptions of other devotees. These are things you should sell. You don't need, and they will really be an obstruction to faith. Yes. Nobody's going to buy them anyway. Wholesale. We're going to talk about that a little later. Counterfeit notes. This is very bad also. Doing it your own way, making up your own process, it won't work. We have the process, which is given by Lord Chaitanya.
That's the same as the next
line. Yes, make your own. 13 and 14 are the same. Make your own Krishna, which the Sahajiyas do. Okay, so then the next, where to go, the shops, your next page, page 3, primary business outlets and key personnel. The storehouse is Srimad Bhagavatam because it enfolds the holy name. Principal trader is Nityananda. Share traders, Advaita in Bengal, Vrindavan, Rupa and Sanatan, and Jagannath Puri, Srut Damodar and Ramananda Roy. Storekeepers in Bengal, Gadadhar Pandit, Janava Devi, Vishnu Priya. In Vrindavan, Raghunath Das. In Puri, Paramananda. So, there you go. And there are also many bazaars, and that is all of our ISKCON temples. Shops, traveling salesmen, traveling Sankirtan. These are places to buy faith and to buy the holy name. So, how do we approach these storekeepers, share traders, principal trader, Nityananda? How can we approach Nityananda? And why? Why would we want wholesale? Why would we want to buy wholesale? Oh, we didn't even put this on the list. Oh yeah, wholesale, number 12. Yeah. Wholesale. Who buys wholesale? Yes, one who distributes it. So if you want to be a distributor, you can buy wholesale from Nityananda or from these other people here. So if you want to find, how do you approach Nityananda? Where do you find him to go and by this holy name? By preaching, okay. You find him in your preaching on the streets. His books, good. And? Guru, and?
Holy name.
Holy name, and? Go to the temple. For Sodom, yeah, right. Okay, give me that one. No, go to the temple, Nityananda is there also. You can see him face to face. And you can beg from him. In Mayapur especially also, you can beg. In Panchatapa, you can beg them. Please give me the holy name. Please let me chant. Please let me distribute the holy name. So read Bhagavatam, here it says at the bottom. One must read Bhagavatam regularly and with scrutiny to gradually become attached to the chanting Hare Krishna, Maha Mantra. So our next page, tips on cheating salesmen. We have to be careful when we go shopping. We don't want it, especially here in Vrindavan. You get cheated very easily. You may even get cheating rickshawalas who take you to the wrong place. But cheating shops also, they say this is silver, but it's not silver. It's white metal or it's something else. They say it's gold and it's not gold. So you have to know what you're looking for. So these are the cheating salesmen. Number one, they have no connection with reputed companies. Means not properly connected with Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradayas. Number two, they may sell you the goods, but not give you the manual or the warranty. So they say you don't need guru, you don't need the books, you don't need Panchatattva. So this is a cheating salesman. And in Vrindavan, you'll find all of these. Number three, they may try to pressurize you to buy goods you really can't afford. So they strongly preach above your level of realization and cause you confusion and difficulty. They will say to you, yes, you should find out I will tell you what is your swarup. I will tell you what is your relationship with Krishna. I had one godbrother who found out his relationship with Krishna from one Babaji. And he told him, he is a peacock. And he said, now you practice. So he is practicing to be a peacock. He was dancing and he was eating from the ground. But this is not going to work. Yeah, I'm serious. This was when Prabhupada was here. One of my god brothers came to Vrindavan.
Early days,
not now. Now everyone's a gopi. It's nothing lower. Yes. So this is, I mean, and people, they were practicing even in our temple. There were some brahmacharis wearing ankle bells at one point. One of these brahmacharis, he was walking through my land. And I didn't see him, I just heard it, and I thought it was a cow, and I was really upset. I said, "Who let the cow?" And then I walked to the door, and I saw, I was really embarrassed. I was getting a stick to beat the cow, and it was this brahmachari. No, it's what to do. Anyway, they don't do that anymore. That was the old days. Crazy. But yes, may try to convince you to take a cheaper brand, yes. There are some people who say you only have to chant four rounds and you don't have to follow the four regulative principles, and I will give you initiation. Cheaper brand of the holy name. In fact, we lost many of our congregational members to this person who was preaching like that. Number five, they may try to enamor you with their personal charisma and expertise so that you will trust their choice of item. This I found when I went to Nepal. They may claim to be Rasika gurus who can give you Raghunuga Bhakti, but a bona fide guru never teaches there is a difference between Krishna Nam and Ras, nor does he preach above the level of realization and receptivity of his audience. So this is, there is one guru, and he has a big ashram here in Vrindavan as well. I won't mention any names, but he was preaching in Nepal especially. And he's saying that he is Bhagavan, and everybody chants the name Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. Radhe, Radhe, they don't chant Hare Krishna. And he has pictures of himself embracing Radharani, that he's Krishna and he's married to Radharani. So this is going on. And this one of the biggest ashrams in Vrindavan here has this person.
So you skipped over number four.
Number four, cheaper brand.
Yeah, you mentioned.
Take things cheaply and concoct our own shortcuts. Yes.
So,
okay, number four.
So, I mean, reducing the number of rounds required for initiation.
Yeah, that is number three and number four also.
Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, yeah, cheaper brand. Reducing, like you don't have to follow the four regulative principles. So that's much cheaper. I mean, it's very difficult for most people to follow it their whole life. Very difficult, very difficult. Very few can follow, actually, for a long time. So that's cheaper. Yeah, Prabhupada, he demands. But he says, if you just chant 16 rounds and follow the four regulative principles, I guarantee I'll take you back to Godhead in this life. Yes? You have a doubt.
No, it's just a really important point.
Yeah? Okay.
I don't want to belabor too much, and I feel I'm speaking too much already. Bhakti's Lanza standard was 64 rounds.
Right.
To 16,
right.
He's the founder of Charyas.
Yes.
Yes.
So we are following him. We are following Prabhupada. And one time, and in Prabhupada, he gives a guarantee, just like it says, they'll give you without the guarantee, without the warranty. But he's giving us the books, the manuals, all of his books. He's giving us a guarantee as well. You chant 16 rounds and follow the four regulative principles, he guarantees you'll go back to Godhead. And he will personally take you. He was in one lecture, he was giving a lecture saying, yes, Bhaktisiddhanta was very strict, and he said, if you don't chant 64 rounds, you're fallen. And Prabhupada, you're fallen. You're not transcendental. You're fallen. You're not even on the level of a Vaishnava. So Prabhupada, he reduced it to 16 because we're fallen. We're all fallen. But he's going to make up for the other rest of the rounds to make it to 64. That's why he reduced it. So he also gave a lecture. There was one lecture and he was saying, unless you're 100% free from material desire, you will not go back to Godhead. So then the other devotees were going, like this. And Prabhupada said, okay, 90%. So then the devotees were going, so he said, okay, 80%. And then he started walking off his Vyasa-san, and his final word was 70%. If you are 70% free of material desire, Prabhupada says, I will take you back to Godhead. That's his guarantee. 70% means the level of nishtha, when you're free from passion and ignorance, at least if you can make it to goodness, and Prabhupada will take you. And goodness means you can maintain it by chanting 16 rounds and following the four negative principles. That was his bottom line. That you just do this, you'll get on the mode of goodness. And so after that class, my god sister Mahamaya, she went to Prabhupada's room and she asked Prabhupada, is it true that if we're only 70% free, you'll take us back? Srila Prabhupada said, yes, because I have the key for the back door. And that's the only way we're going to get in, because we have a long way to go. And we have, so he will make up the difference if we just do that little bit, if we just do that for him.
It's hard to remember also part of the whole thing we're using for 16 rounds was on the idea that we're supposed to have many activities actually to make
right.
up of those missing yeah. rounds. So if we are not literally chanting, at least we do service on this time.
Right, we should do service, yes. Preaching, especially preaching, is very powerful. When I was in Nepal, the question came, you know, some gurus say you should chant 64 rounds and just stay inside in the mat, in the temple, and just chant and don't go out. And then my answer was, though Prabhupada's mood was different. He said that we should chant 16 rounds because these people that say chant 64, yes, it's true, it's for your own deliverance. It's very selfish. You're only thinking of yourself. Okay, I'll chant 64, and I will go back to Godhead. But that wasn't Prabhupada's mood. He said, you chant 16, and you preach, and you bring everyone else back to Godhead. That was his mood. And he'll take us. He'll take us back. He'll make sure we go. That's his part of the deal. Yeah, we just follow his mood. His mood was preaching to bring everyone back. We chant our 16, and if possible, we chant more. Especially when you get older and you can't do so many. When I was young, I was doing so many physical things. I was 20 hours a day. I only slept 4 hours. So I chanted 16. Now I sleep. I have to sleep more hours, but I can't. I'm not as active. I'm more on the mental. So I chant more. I can chant more now. I don't have so many physical activities that I do. So chanting, and when you get over 50, 60, it becomes easier. But of course, Prabhupada didn't do that when he was over 50, 60. He was getting up and translating and chanting. But as far as I know, he chanted also 16 rounds. His servants, they say that he was chanting 16 rounds. But he was translating almost the whole night. That was his main thing. He wanted to get these books printed for us. Okay? So we'll just finish this last thing, number 6. Let me try to convince you to buy on credit. So this is not good also. So I'd like to do our final exercises for the day. We've got 2 exercises. The first exercise, you need a partner. So we have 4 men here, and each 2 and 2 together, and you can be with me. So for this first exercise, you need a partner, and we're going to improve our pronunciation of the holy name. For a few minutes, one person is going to listen to the other person chant. One of you will chant, the other person will listen for any flaw or any syllable that you miss. Not high, no. Every syllable is going to be very clear so the other person can hear it. So this is guaranteed to improve your chanting. And then we'll switch and the other person will chant and you will listen. Okay? Huh? No, it's not. Just a question of improving your chanting.
We chant the way we usually chant.
Yeah, try to chant the way... try, I mean, you know, I know you're not going to chant the way you usually chant. Because you're chanting for another person, you know he's going to listen, so... Okay? So get your partner, get your japa beads. We'll just chant for a couple of minutes and then we'll switch. Okay, ready? Go. Okay, now you can stop and give the person feedback. Whoever was listening, give feedback to the person. Okay, you ready? We'll switch now. The other person chants, the other person. Oh, you're still doing feedback?
No, I just get it.
Oh, okay.
I have a question, as usual.
Okay. That's all right. Makes life interesting.
Rama versus Ram.
Yeah. Well, I think both are acceptable. If you listen to Srila Prabhupada chanting, sometimes he would say Rama Rama, sometimes he'd say Ram Ram.
Yeah.
So he's our example. It's good to pronounce Rama, it will make you more conscious. But it's acceptable to do also Ram. But the mantra it's called a 16 syllable mantra. So therefore, if you count Rama, then if you leave out the A, then I think it won't be 16 anymore. It will be something else. Okay, so now the second person. Okay, we're going to do another exercise where you don't need partners. You finished your feedback? Okay. So did you improve your chanting? So now we're going to do an exercise. And it was... Okay, yes, tell me. Tell us. Yeah, if you're by yourself, it's hopeless. One thing you can do is make a tape recording of yourself chanting and then play it back. And then you hear the real reality of your chanting. Actually, one devotee, he did that one bhakta. He wanted to sleep during japa, so he made a tape of himself chanting. And he put it on, and he locked his door, and he went to sleep so that everyone would hear him. But one day they looked in the window, and they saw it. But anyway, it's good for improving your chanting as well. It's good for improving your chanting. Okay, now this exercise was what actually started me on the road to japa reform. This particular, the thing we're going to do next. And what I was talking about, as you say, it's very hard to do, you know, quality, 10 quality rounds as opposed to quantity. But actually, just do one quality mantra every day and then try to increase it to 2 to 3. So right now, what we're going to do, this exercise, we're going to try and chant one perfect mantra. Means you're concentrating, your mind is going to chant along with your tongue. It's not going to go anywhere else. And you're going to try and do this. And I found different ways of doing it. I would concentrate and I would watch the clock sometimes and I would see how long it would take me for my mind to go away. And sometimes it would be less than a few seconds or less than a minute. Sometimes I wouldn't catch myself till 2 or 3 minutes. But actually, if you keep bringing your mind back and try to chant a perfect mantra, just the mantra you're on, try to chant perfectly. Then if you can stretch it to 5 minutes, then you'll be in ecstasy. It really makes a difference if you're chanting attentively, really attentively. So we'll just try now for a few minutes to chant one perfect mantra. You can take your japa beads, and you're on your own. You don't have a partner and to help you.
No.
You do have spies. And we're going to chant one perfect mantra. Oh, we should hear the perfect mantra first from Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah, it has 2 tracks.
I've heard that one way.
Okay, we'll stop now. We're a little over time today. Did you find that little helpful? Okay, so that's we have some homework for tomorrow. That's one of the homework items. It's on your seminar outline page for day one. Seminar outline, day one, you have some homework tips to improve your chanting. So one item is to make a resolution the day before. What would be a good resolution to make? Tonight, before you go to sleep, you make a resolution about improving your chanting tomorrow. So what would be a good resolution to make tonight?
I would chant
I will chant attentively. I will try to chant attentively. That's a good one.
Wake up in time.
Wake up in time. I will try to wake up in time. Yes, early is good. Start early, and that's another tip here. They start early in the morning, and that would be a good resolution. Oh, yes. I will eagerly anticipate my japa tomorrow. Yes. Good resolution. Yes, right. Appreciate the time and use it properly. Concentrate the mind on the sound. So this is chanting. Try to chant at least one mantra perfectly. That was our exercise we did today. So you can try one of these or all of these tips tomorrow. And tomorrow I'll ask you for a report on your trials of the homework. Every day you'll get some homework tips to improve your chanting. And so every day you try them, and we will report. And tomorrow we'll have an intensive session, a heart operation tomorrow, getting rid of some anarthas, especially the offenses to chanting the holy name. Okay, so we'll see you tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yes? Questions? Oh. I forgot to ask if there were any questions. Of course, there were no lack of questions, but I will ask for questions. I should have asked. Yes. Okay, we'll have questions. Yes. Let him go first, because you had many. Oh, okay. Yeah, you have a question? Vidyavatu Jivanam. Okay, Vadhu means bride, wife. So when you chant the jiva, or actually it's the life, also the life of all knowledge, or the bride, the life of all transcendental knowledge. Vidya means knowledge, and jivanam means life. So the chanting of Hare Krishna is the life of all transcendental knowledge. And also when you chant, Vadhu, the wife of Krishna, bhakti, appears in the heart. So when you chant the holy name, Krishna's wife, Bhakti Devi, appears in the heart along with Vidya, which is her son, knowledge and vairagya, jnana and vairagya. Vidya or jnana is the same, knowledge and renunciation. When you chant, then Krishna's wife will appear, bhakti will appear, along with her two sons. So that was the explanation of that line. Also, as I said, it's the life of all knowledge. So without chanting, the knowledge can become very dry, dry speculation. The chanting gives it life. Because the chanting is a practical activity that we do. When we get the knowledge, then we chant. And when we chant, we get the knowledge. Both are required, Bhagavatam and chanting together. They're a very, very nice combination. Srila Prabhupada said, he quoted these too often. Lord Chaitanya says, Kirtaniya Sada Hari, we should always chant Hare Krishna. And Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, always serve eternally Bhagavata. So 24 hours, Prabhupada said, we should do these two things, chanting Hare Krishna and reading Srimad Bhagavatam. These are the two things we should do 24 hours a day. Okay? And if you can't do that, chant 16 rounds and go to Bhagavatam class. And try to do something. Try to remember Krishna the rest of the day somehow or other. Okay? So, Jai Shri Prabhupada.